be going through there. They've got it translated into Polish. And Dave's book right now is being translated, I don't know how many different languages. And they're being very, very careful, you know, because there's some heavy things. Like Peter said about Paul's writings, you know, some of these things are hard to understand. So I love the standard that Jesus gave Tim Stemple. You know, he oversees all that. But here's the standard. See if this doesn't sound like the mind of God. All right, we'll let you translate Dave's book from English into Polish or Portuguese or whatever language. And then once you have it done and you think it's perfect, then we're going to get somebody else to translate it from Portuguese or whatever back into English.
Wow.
And see if it still reads the same. So that's a God idea right there. You hear? That's what we're going to be talking about this week, the difference between a good idea and a God idea. Amen? So anyway, that's in the works, and it looks like the next thing for us, major event, is that we looks like we're going to South Africa in May, and pray for us. We've never been out of the country. New York is out of the country to us. I mean, dear Lord, you know. Hallelujah. Because anything else that I've forgotten in the way of... No, you remind me. You'll let me know. She will, too. Glory to God. Well, let's pray and get our minds going down the right path here. Boy, it's good to see you guys. You know, you got to be hungry to come out on a Monday night in America with snow on the ground and cold weather. I know Heather drove through a whiteout to get here from roughly Albany. My Lord, I mean, you know, God, you got to feed these people. They're hungry. So let's pray that he does that, okay? Well, Father, you know, look at these people. Look at them. Lord, it's Monday night in America. They could be doing 1,000 things. But, Lord, they're hungry. They're hungry for more of you. Good Shepherd, feed your people. Move amongst your flock tonight. Lord, speak softly to them. Reassure them of your love. Look them over for wounds or any damage from the enemy. If you find any places where they're hurting, Lord, pour in that oil and that salve. Cause them to receive their healing, Lord. And Father, above all, we want the mind of Christ. Father, I'm asking you with all that I know how. Give me the mind of my master. Cause my tongue to be as the pen of a ready writer, that I could speak forth the mind of Christ with simplicity and so clearly that the wayfaring fool could not misunderstand it. Father, I pray that you anoint the ears of the hearers with ear salve. Cause the clamor of the world to grow silent now so they can hear with their spirit what you're saying to them individually, to this body, and to your church at large. Father, we want you to have your way in this place. The service is yours. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Well, you can go ahead and be opening up to John 14, and while you're doing that, how many of you got the little flyer that we sent out, or this church sent out, that... Really, raise your hands. Let me put it this way. How many of you did not get it? Any of you did not get our little mail out? Okay, well, I'm going to read it here for you. Now, the only reason you wouldn't have gotten that, by the way, is that we don't have you in on our mailing list. Because what we do, anyone that we have on our mailing list that lives within a 100-mile radius of any meetings that we do, well, we try and give you at least a 2 or 3 weeks advance notice, whatever time we have. In case you'd like to come, you could make arrangements to come. So if you didn't get that little flyer, then that lets you and me know you're not on the list. So you can remedy that by signing up. I think they've got a sign-out sheet. And just most of you are on my mailing list, I think. And just for these new ones, I'm going to ask you some questions. Be honest now. Not like you wouldn't anyway. See, I used to dread getting on mailing lists because I didn't want to get that monthly letter every month. Especially the one where they want my money every month. And sometimes I did get on the mailing list and I didn't sign up for no mailing list. I've been at some meetings where all I did, you know, I mean, we got blessed and we wanted, at offering time, we wrote a check and wanted to bless that ministry, and that's fine. I didn't understand they was going to capture my name and address off there and make me a partner for the next 50 years. I mean, you know, I didn't agree to that. I don't like that kind of thing. So those of you that's been on my mailing list, you know, our tapes are free. We don't even put in a return envelope there. If you're going to give to our ministry, you've got to work at it. Get your own cotton picking envelope. In other words, if it isn't God and you don't want to give it, I don't want it anyhow. You know, if he's not moving you to give it, please keep it. You got to have a rich daddy to talk like this. Which I have one. But the question is this. See, we'll send you anything we have. The Lord told us, such as we have, just give it free. And those of you that's been on our mailing list a long time, one thing you've never gotten from us, now you correct me if I'm wrong, you've never gotten an appeal letter where we ask for money, have you? And you never will. Okay? So you can safely sign that one. We'll send you a tape catalog. Just check off what you want, send it in. The tapes are free, and if you don't like them, we'll give you your money back. Anyway. Hallelujah. All right. Let's get on with this. Now I want to see if I'm in the, in the right company, if I'm amongst friends and peers. So, glory to God, I just recognized you, brother. Hallelujah. Good to see you. We're amongst friends here. See, I may be the only one. Perhaps I'm confused, but there's actually been times in my life when I needed to hear direct instructions. And I'm not talking about wishy-washy general things. I mean, I needed to know the next step. I needed to hear from heaven. I needed to know what my master wanted me to do. And I don't know about you guys, but there's actually been times when I had a little trouble. None of you probably had any. Oh, I'm getting a witness back here. Am I not alone? Have others had some trouble with that from time to time? Yeah, okay. All right, we can talk then, right? We can talk. Okay, good deal. Now, Sue and I, that what I'm about to read to you, and this is what I put in that flyer. This was in September of 1998. And we had already been in full-time ministry for several years. And it's not like I wasn't seeking the Lord. He had changed our life that even during this period of time, I started out like, hey, this is a quote you ought to hang on your wall. Nobody has time to pray. Just get it straight. Quit using it as an excuse. Nobody has time to pray. We didn't either. You just do it anyhow. You just start with what you have. I don't care if it's 30 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. You start with what you have. Be diligent, because the principle is be faithful in little. Who do you reckon is more interested in your prayer life, you or him? You show him you be faithful with what you have. Don't you reckon part of his prayer for you is to increase your prayer time? Well, that's what he did with us. My job consumed 60 or 70 hours a week. But by just giving him what I had, which was the prayer time in the cab of the truck, in just a few short years, he turned it around to where basically I can pray all the time if I want to now. You know? Well, during this period, and I'm saying that to say this. See, it's not like I wasn't seeking him. Now, don't get intimidated by this, because it's not always this way. But during this period of time right here, September thereabouts in 1998, I was in a real seeking mode. What I mean by that, I was at my ugly building. Those were those days where I wasn't coming home. You know, I'd leave in the morning before dawn. I wouldn't be home till about 9 or 10 at night. Anywhere from 8 to 12 hours praying in tongues a day. Would y'all call that serious? And I was still having trouble hearing those instructions. What was funny, I needed an answer. Y'all ever go to God like this? I need an answer, and I need it now. That's why I amened a while ago. I need an answer and I need it now. And I'd shandalize there for about 8 hours, you know. And what he'd do now, what would come back was revelation knowledge of the Word. And I said, perhaps you didn't understand. It's not that I don't appreciate revelation knowledge, Lord. I need an answer though. I got problems. Help me. Somebody help me. One of my favorite psalms is, "Send help now, O God," you know. So anyway, this was going on, and I was getting no answers fast. And so, thank God for the Holy Ghost. He come to my rescue in September the 1st, 1998. And here's what he said to me. Just a quote directly from, and you could put Gary here, but you know, Gary, and then what he says, "But I got a sneaking suspicion it may apply to more than just me." Y'all listen to it and see what you think. He said, "You're having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, in part because you're expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. As I have spoken previously to you, when His instructions come, they come in such a manner that they release me to remove the burden from your shoulders. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problem. You're still expecting His instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. His instructions come in such a manner that they allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Simply continue to sit and listen to my counsel, and you will receive these instructions. I'm still walking this out, but I'm a whole lot better at this in the year 2003 than I was in 1998. And we've only got 5 nights to give you several years worth of what I've learned. But we're going to do our best. We're going to do our best, okay? Now, I'm still walking it out. Part of this is I'm still giving you a spies report from the promised land. I'm not telling you I hear the Holy Ghost moment by moment yet. But boy, we're going to give you some exact teachings from the Word about this. And then we're going to give you some examples from our own life where we've seen it happen. Now, I will tell you this. Here he goes. Okay. If you're taking notes, I'll tell you the number one cause for us missing those kind of instructions. On a daily basis, actually, let me say moment by moment basis, we're just not aware He's really with us, meaning the Holy Ghost. So a problem arises or a situation occurs, and we tend to think in man mode. What can man do? More specifically, what can I do? And we think in the terms of, that's why we keep, you know, even the world talks about thinking outside the box. Yes. That's kind of what we're talking about. But we need to start thinking outside the man mode box. Mm-hmm. And start thinking about what can He do. Wow. Let me listen for instructions that release Him to do what He wants to do. Would y'all agree with me? This is something the Holy Ghost said to me one day, and I mean, it's not rocket science, but it just the way He says stuff just has a way of getting me. He said, "You do understand, son." This is the Holy Ghost. He said, "You do understand, son. I can do more for you in a single day than you could accomplish in many lifetimes." Now, which is more important, what you can do, or learning how to release me to do what I can do?
Oh, yeah.
Back to the prayer closet it was, boy. Yeah. One of the number one ways the devil beats us all the time is getting you thinking the stuff you got to do today is more important than your prayer time with the Holy Ghost. Make sure I get a copy of this tape. I need to hear that myself. I mean, oh, God. Isn't it true, y'all, it's been at this for a while? You know, and you'll do pretty good for a while. You'll be in that prayer closet and doing pretty good, but boy, just after a little while, you know, just well, today, you know, just today, Lord, I'll make it up tomorrow. But And then tomorrow, boy, see, the thing about the devil, I don't reckon anybody's real quick that thinks they can beat God. But right on the other hand, the devil has been watching humankind for 6,000 years. And he kind of knows what'll work, you know. So he finds something that works, you know. Boy, now this, today, not a, and he's subtle, you know. He'll come, let's just say this man is an iron, he's just wearing armor of prayer. This is a prayer warrior right here. Praying dude, you know, in that closet, praying. So the Holy Ghost knows he can't come just attack him. Holy Ghost. The devil knows he can't just come and attack him like prayer's not important, because he'd never go for that. But the devil stir up some little emergency over here. Well, now, you wasn't going to pray so many hours, but today, just today only today, you got to take about two, you know, half of that time. Of course, our thinking is, I'll make it up tomorrow. And the devil says, see, I found something that worked. You find something that works. How's that old saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, if it's working, keep doing it. See, it won't be very long if you're not careful. If you're not, you know, we're not supposed to be ignorant of Satan's devices. If he finds out, he can send his little imps into your life and little fires here and little fires there. And that's working. That's keeping you out. Well, guess what? More little fires are coming. Till pretty soon you'll be so wore out you're not getting any prayer time anymore. 2 years down the road, you go, what happened with my fellowship with God? I don't ever remember making the conscious decision to stop praying and fellowshipping with Him. What happened? Well, the enemy's subtle, you know. He's real subtle. So anyway, getting back to this, he was sure right. I was having difficulty because I wasn't, my mind was not constantly thinking and listening for those things. I was in the, by thinking inside the box, I was always listening for what the Lord wanted me to do. See? You know, like, and it's not wrong to do things. I mean, Jesus says you can't even give a cup of cold water in His name and lose your reward. But see, we get so busy doing what man can do, God never gets to do what God can do. Now, here's just a simple example. This was one of the things that caused Dave, our pastor Dave Roberson, years ago to come off the circuit. You know what I mean by that? The camp meetings continually and all of that, and go seeking into prayer. He was at Wally and Marilyn Hickey's church up in Colorado, and he'd been through there for years, you know, a couple of times a year. It wasn't just him. There was others. Charles Capps, he mentions. Benny Hinn, he mentions, before Benny was so big. And then other ones, you know, that you would recognize. And he says, you know, I got to noticing after a while, they have a deaf section. That's a big church, and so there's a lot of deaf people come. And so they had a section there for the deaf people to sit. And the reason was they had a person that can do that sign thing, you know. And that's a good thing, isn't it? And that way the deaf people can listen and or, you know, by the signs, and they'll know what's being preached, see? See, that's a good thing. You're not going to lose your reward for that. You know, that same church, I bet you, because Marilyn just got, you know, she just got a real soft and wonderful heart. We just love her. I bet you anything that if somebody came that was deaf, but maybe they could be helped with hearing aids, I bet you they have a fund or something where they would help with hearing aids and somebody that needed one. That would be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? Now, see, that's the thing, though. We're not coming against those kind of things. But you know, if our Father ever gets loose, and this is what got Dave, you know, our Father has a different plan for the deaf than hearing aids. Our Father has a different plan for the deaf than signs.
That's right.
When Jesus run His meetings where the Father got loose, the deaf heard. The blind would see. The lame would walk. And I like this one. The maimed were made whole. That's where you come in missing an arm or a foot or a leg or something. And you walk out with it. And we're not talking a plastic one either. You reckon your testimony when you got back to your hometown from that meeting would have a little impact on the people there? The people you grew up with and they knew when you left for that meeting you was missing a right hand. And when you come back, you got a right hand. And they say, how'd that happen? Let me tell you about Jesus. You reckon that would have an impact? See, we were all wanting a revival. This is the kind of thing that brings revival. We met with a wonderful East Indian man and his wife yesterday up at this little church up in Oneonta. His name, I can't remember his last name. His first name was Sam. And that's short for a name about 16 cylinders long, okay? It's East Indian. But he's a scientist. He's a well-educated man. Loves the Lord with all of his heart. Big part of his earnings pays for pastors over in India. You got to remember, the rest of the world's not like America. In India, he says 98% Hindu still. 1% or 2%, Muslim, and what little bit left is Christian. And I was talking to him. I said, well, you have experience. You grew up there, right? Oh, yes. I said, what does it take to win a Hindu to Jesus? What does it take? He didn't hesitate a minute. All they need is to see a miracle. They see a miracle, they'll change and they'll never go back. But he says that's what it'll take because you're dealing with generations and generations, generations. He said all it takes is they see the miracle that Jesus is alive and you can prove it, they'll change. Same with a Muslim. Hallelujah. Well, so it's important that we understand these things and how to start listening for instructions that release the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Now, I'm going to have to do a visual demonstration. Is that okay with you? Jesus taught that way all the time. He would use parables or like cursing the fig tree and they could see what happened to it. He would use natural things all the time trying to convey truth to his disciples. That old saying is true. One picture is worth 1,000 words. Amen? I don't know how long you'll remember the words that you hear this week, but sometimes those pictures, if we can kind of walk something out, we're going to demonstrate something to you. Now, did I have you turn to John 14? Yes. Boy, that's good. Hallelujah. Now, I need to get there myself, and we'll be in business. Now, leading up to this picture that we're going to demonstrate for you. What's going on here in John 14? Think about this. Jesus is telling the disciples that he's coming to the end of his ministry on earth in a flesh and blood body. He is about to become the Lamb on the cross, and he is leaving the planet to go be with his Father. Now put yourself in Peter's position, or one of the 12. You have forsaken everything to follow this man. Peter gave up his fishing business. Matthew gave up his tax collecting business. All of these men, basically, they laid it on the line, to follow Jesus for three and a half years, and now he's leaving? Mm-hmm. How would you feel? Hello? Glory. So let's kind of walk this out here for just a minute. Let me read what Jesus said first. Now, Jesus says in John 14, let's just pick it up in verse 16. He's already told them that he's going to be with the Father. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Now, that word comfortless in the Greek is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S, orphanos. I'm no Greek scholar, but I can figure that one out. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you without leadership. I'm not going to leave you without protection. I'm not going to leave you. Think about our orphans, little orphans, Maybe a seven-year-old boy leading it. Maybe he's the only provider for his five-year-old sister. I think about him during that Tale of Two Cities time that Charles Dickens wrote about. No one to care for them. No one to lead them. No one to provide shelter at night. No one. just abandoned. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you like that. Everyone say, thank God. But I'll be honest with you now, most Christians, many days, wake up in the morning, and with all of their heart, they'd like to know what the Lord would like for them to do that day. They'd like to know some leadership. They'd like to know that. It's not that they don't love the Lord. But when it comes to a practical leadership, to a large degree, kind of feel orphaned. I don't know what to do. I don't know what it is the Lord would have me do. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Doesn't that sound like an orphan to you? Well, now watch this. Boy, a big part of our answer is in this passage right here. You get this? Look at 16 again. If you underline in your Bible for this particular service, this message here, I'll give you the key word. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you, here's the key word, another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, we're going to act this out a little bit. I want you to see a visual. For teaching purposes, will y'all let me be Peter? I mean, after all, he's the one that opened his mouth and got in trouble all the time. That sounds like me, so I'll be Peter. And wisdom dictates that whenever you're in another man's church and you need someone to represent Jesus, always choose the pastor, always. Pastor, would you be Jesus? Hallelujah. You remember you talked about wisdom earlier. Hallelujah. See? Now see, I Jesus. Okay, so now I'm Peter and I'm representing the 12. And y'all know the story as well as I do. I mean, for three and a half years, what did Jesus say? You come follow me. But now see, you got to understand, the way Peter followed Jesus and the way we follow Jesus is quite different. Because during that three and a half years, Peter could touch Jesus. Peter could see Jesus with his eye gaze. When Jesus would speak, he could hear. And if Jesus went somewhere, kind of walk around a figure eight here. I mean, this is how Peter followed Jesus. He could see him wherever the master went. You know, I have like images in my mind that as they traveled around Galilee and all over Israel, that some nights they probably stayed in somebody's home or maybe a roadside inn of some whatever they had in that day. And probably other nights I can see campfires, you know, by the road where they'd camp out. And but in the morning, if you want to follow Jesus, well, there he goes. We're following you, Jesus. So this is how Peter and the 12 followed Jesus. And they got to see the miracles with their eyes. They got to see all of that. See, I used to be really jealous. I told the Lord it wasn't fair. Don't ever tell the Lord he's not fair. Okay, intermission. Stay right here for a minute. Let me tell you what the Lord told me back. I was whining and complaining. Well, that's just not fair. Peter can see you. Peter got to see the miracle. I have a book. It's just not fair, Lord. You know what he told me? He says, you have the Holy Spirit like Paul had the Holy Spirit. You can know me as well as Paul did. And Paul knew me better than Jesus, better than Peter. And I thought for a minute, well now, let's see, who was it corrected who? You remember when Peter was caught up in the dissimulation? Who was it that had to come in and do the correcting? Paul. Paul knew Jesus even better than Peter knew Jesus. Although Paul never physically walked with Jesus at all, that we know of. Who was Paul's teacher? And who is our teacher? I said, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. I'll never say anything like that again. I'll never say anything like that again. See? So anyway, so we made our point. Now, when he says, I'm going to send you another comforter, by definition, who's the first comforter? Well, that's Jesus. All right, now, for 3 years, 3.5 years, now during this chapter, I want you to see this. See, how would Peter receive instructions in those days? That's what we're really talking about, receiving instructions from the mind of Christ, real instructions that come from Him who is alive. Okay? Well, how would Peter do that? Let's say this is the day you wanted me to go loose that donkey. Tell me to go loose that donkey.
If you go down there, there are two roads. There's a donkey right there. If anybody asks you, just tell them the master lead us to go get the donkey.
Do I know what to do?
Yes.
See, but I heard it with my natural ear. And I understood it with my natural soul. And so I was physically able to go and do it. All right, but now he's telling them, I'm going away. So now this picture, let's say this is the day that Jesus went to see to sit at the right hand of the Father. You can go sit now. Jesus is ascending to the throne. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a hand. Would you give him a hand? Hallelujah. All right. And now what did Jesus say? I am going to give you another comforter. Would you mind being the Holy Ghost for just a moment? I won't embarrass you. I promise I won't embarrass you. It's real simple. I'll do all the talking. Now, the reason I'm having somebody come up and stand beside me, you have got to understand that word another. This is a different person. Now, Jesus is not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not Jesus. That's why he says another comforter. Now, we have a little trouble with this with our finite brain. I'm not trying to mess with your doctrine, but just listen for a minute, see if this makes sense. Is God one? There's only one true and living God. We know that, right? But yet, doesn't he represent himself to us somehow as three distinct persons? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all three separate, all three one. And if you think about that too much, your brain will start leaking right out your left ear. Because we're finite, and he's trying to explain to us, trying to represent an infinite God to a finite creature. This is the way he does it. So, boy, if I get to thinking about that too much, I have to hold my hand right over my left ear. I don't want too many much of my brains to leak out there, you know. But I do know it's true that when he says another comforter, that is a different person. And that's the reason I had somebody else come up. Have we made that point?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost is not Jesus. Jesus is not the Holy Ghost. Now stay right here for a minute. So far, is this okay? All right. Now watch this. You still in John? Come on down to... going over to chapter 16. Let's look at verse 13. Let's find out something else that Jesus... See, because... John chapter 14, 15, 16, he is laying it out for them how it's going to be after he leaves. He doesn't want them to be orphans. He wants them to have leadership. Just as accurate, just as real, as when he was physically there himself to lead them. And that's what we're after. Look what he says about this Holy Spirit. It says, howbeit when... Oh, now look at verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, in a nutshell, why couldn't they bear them now? They weren't regenerated till after the cross. That's why Jesus had to talk with them in parables, things that a natural human can understand. He told Nicodemus, if I've spoken to you of earthly things and you've not understood, how will you understand if I start telling you of heavenly things? They had no nature to understand it till after the cross. He says, I've taken you as far as I can take a natural person that doesn't have the Spirit of God in them. He says, but you're going to, just shortly here, just a few days, you're going to have the opportunity to be born again. And when you get that nature, hello, where is it? There it is. When you get that nature, a teachable nature, a spirit which is born of God, then I'm going to send this Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and he's going to guide you into all truth. Why? You will be able to bear it then.
Yeah.
You'll have a capacity to understand spiritual things. We'll get into that more tomorrow night, okay? But now, notice this about the Holy Ghost. He's going to guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Now, this is what's important. Look up here at me. The Holy Ghost has... Jesus, sit up straight, because you're still Jesus on the throne. Okay, I'm fixing to use you again. I probably should have had you sit up here, but that's okay. Jesus is still on the throne. See, the point he's trying to make right there is this. I'm sending you another comforter, but he's not come to be Lord. Jesus is still Lord. The Holy Ghost has not come to try and take over lordship. The Holy Ghost has come to enforce Jesus' lordship. In other words, the lordship of Jesus is to continue after the cross, just like it did before the cross. The only difference is now, instead of receiving our instructions from the mouth of Jesus physically, we receive it from Him, all right, but it's by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. Can you plainly see? Wave at Jesus. You can plainly see. Wave back. These are two different persons. First comforter, another comforter. And they're not in competition. You got that? It's important to understand that. Now, see, we can all see this brother right here because he's flesh and blood. But see, and he's standing right here. Now, I'm going to have him sit down now because I think we've made our point that the Holy Ghost is a separate person. Go sit down. Thank you. Give him a hand.
Hallelujah.
But now, even though he went and sat down, what you must remember, the Holy Spirit is still right here. This is where we miss it. This is where we settle for what man can do and think about what man can do. Because since we can't see Him, since we can't touch Him, since we don't normally hear Him with our natural ear. You ever hear the phrase, out of sight, out of mind? That's what's going on in the body of Christ. That's flat what's going on. Now you might write this down. This is an important thing. How's he doing for the first night? Is he whetting your appetite? You getting some things here? I'm getting a white hanky back here. Glory to God, I'm doing good. You might write this down. A big part of the problem on receiving instructions from the mind of Christ, we have no constant awareness that the Holy Ghost is with us all the time. Not only with us, but in us. See, that's all I could do was have that brother come up and stand beside me. But Jesus said earlier, He is with you, but He shall be in you. I haven't figured out yet how to demonstrate that one visually. It's a tough one. So we got the Holy Ghost with us and in us, and in a nutshell, we forget about Him. Lack of awareness that He's with us causes us to listen to our thoughts instead of His thoughts. Lack of awareness causes us not to even listen for His thoughts. Really quiet in this Presbyterian church now, glory to God. But it is the truth. Now, all is not lost. We're going to be talking about... First, yes, sir, we'll do it that way. Let me show you we're not the only ones that ever had this problem. Go to Acts chapter 16. We'll do it that way tonight. I don't know about you guys, but I'm having a good time myself. Now, what we're about to read as you're headed towards Acts 16... We're going to look at a period in the Apostle Paul and Silas's life, I believe it is. And you got to understand, Paul had already been, he'd already had his Damascus experience. He'd already been saved. He'd already been filled with the Holy Ghost. He'd already been in full-time ministry for quite a while and seen several miracles. So it's not like he's a total novice. You know, how many of y'all been born again, let's say, more than 5 years? See, most of us. So it's not like you don't, you know, like this is your first week with Jesus. You know, if we could all sit around a table and fellowship, well, we'd all have stories to tell, wouldn't we? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay. Well, Paul could too, and he'd already seen quite a few things. But let's watch what's going on here, because I want you to see it takes a while to learn how to tell the difference between what the Holy... Let's say it a little different way. It takes a little while to be able to tell the difference between a true enough God idea and just a good idea. So let's watch this. Perfect example. Acts 16, let's pick it up in verse 6. And I apologize ahead of time for my Oklahoma pronunciation of these names. I'm doing the best I can. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now get this, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Huh. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed, that means, or assayed, however you say that, what it means is they thought about going to Bithynia. They were thinking about going to Bithynia. But notice this. But the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, He didn't allow it. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now this is a perfect example of what we're talking about. Did not Jesus say before he ascended unto heaven, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations? Did he not say that? All right, now, so don't you reckon there's some lost folks in Asia? Sure there was. Wouldn't you say it's a good thing? I mean, we have the commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Wouldn't you normally say, well, it's those folks in Asia, they need to be saved. I'm a preacher of the gospel. Silas, let's hook up. We're going to Asia. And see, it would have been a good idea. Jesus says, you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward. The Holy Ghost would have blessed them all that he could. Reminds me of when Kenneth Hagin pastored those churches for 12 years. One of those churches, all the time he pastored it, not one person ever died of sickness. I'd call that God's blessing on a deal, wouldn't you? But anyway, after about 12 years, 11 or 12, I mean, it's been a long time since I heard it now, 11 or 12 years or so, then God's talking to him about going out on the evangelistic field and being, teaching and using his prophetic gifts. And Kenneth Hagin's kind of arguing with him a little bit. He's going, now, Lord, this is the best church we've ever been in. Pastor in this church, we've got the best parsonage. My kids are finally being clothed and fed properly, and we're getting a decent education. We like these people, and they're good to us. Lord, why in the world would you bless me like this? In this, after 12 years, but yet you can plainly see the Lord's hand was on him. Listen, he's going to bless anything you endeavor to do for him. We're not against anything. Glory, thank God for people that feed the poor and clothe the poor and help people get hearing aids that need them. We're not against any of that. But I want you to know, if we're ever going to win the Hindu world and the Muslim world, and to be honest with you, the religious lost world in America, we got to show them something besides what man can do. We've got to move on to what the Holy Ghost can do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here, if Paul struggled with this, do you feel better knowing that Paul struggled with it? It made me feel better. I'm going, whew, okay, I'm not the only one. If God didn't give up on Paul, maybe he hadn't give up on me. But now I can just see Paul going through this. Here's Paul and Silas. They both know that they're called to win the lost. Let's go over into Asia and preach the gospel there. That'd be a good idea. But notice the Holy Ghost, how strong a word is that? Forbid it. That's pretty strong word, forbid it. I mean, not like, I'd rather you not do that. Don't you do it. Right? Okay, we're not going to do that, Lord. So they're talking, I can just see them talking together. I'm just making this up, but let's just say, it teaches good. Boy, the Holy Ghost didn't want us going to Asia right now. Boy, I got that straight. He didn't stutter, did he? No, he didn't. I wonder where he does want us to go. And one of them says to the other one, you know, I was in Bithynia about a year ago. Let me tell you, them folks is lost. If anyone needs the gospel, it's them Bithynians. I bet you he's calling us to Bithynia. That's it. Let's go to Bithynia and we'll preach the gospel there. But look what happens. It says the Spirit suffered them not. That means he didn't allow it. That's a real strong word. Have y'all ever worn yourself out trying to find out the mind of God? Paul did the best thing in the world you can do. He took a nap. I'm serious about that. Sometimes our mind gets so full and we've got 1670 different ideas all going at the same time and we don't know which one is right and we're trying to figure all this out. And you know, you start trying to act on it, and you get that check in the spirit. No. Okay, I'm going to act on this one. No. Well, I'm going to act on this one. No. I'm going to take a nap. And sometimes, that's the best thing you can do. I've learned as a matter of just a habit, a lot of times, just when my mind, right before you drift off to sleep, and your mind is starting to kind of calm down there. Boy, I've learned to keep either a little recorder or a notepad on the nightstand, because a lot of times, either then or first thing in the morning, when I wake up, before my mind gets cluttered with the affairs of the day, it's almost like sometimes the Holy Ghost is sitting on the edge of my bed, and he's going, as soon as the first ray of consciousness, I'm giving him Christ's thought today. Zap! I'm going to get him before he gets his oatmeal. And I've learned to keep something there, either a ring binder or some kind of a notepad, because boy, often this is what happened here. So let's look at how in this case, because we're going to be looking at different ways that the Holy Ghost brings those instructions. Here's one of them, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. What do we normally call that? It's a dream. Sometimes we call it a night vision. But it looks like he's sleeping here. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man in this vision. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he saw the vision, then they figured that was the Lord's direction and they went. And you know the story. It turned out that it was. So if you're making notes, one of the ways that the Holy Spirit communicates the mind of Christ to us, dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. Now, I will tell you from experience, some dreams and visions are from God. Some dreams and visions are from pizza. Or chili, or hot peppers, or whatever it was you had last night. Am I telling the truth, Bernard? You got to learn to tell the difference. And you can with practice. You can with practice. But there's definitely from the Bible, this is one way that God leads us, is by dreams and visions. And most of us just discount those things. We don't even give it a second thought. One time I had the devil give me a dream on top of a God dream. I was driving the truck and I woke up. I don't know why in the world it had me tell this. Maybe somebody needs to hear this. I hadn't thought about this in years. I was still driving the trucks and praying. I can tell you where it was. It was Holbrook, Arizona, at a truck stop there. And I took a little siesta in the truck, which I was supposed to, I forget, 4 or 5 hours, something like that. And when I woke up, I felt ashamed of myself just because of a dream I had. And it wasn't a dream, the kind of dream a Christian's supposed to have. I mean, I felt downright ashamed of myself. I said, good Lord. What in the world? I must be backslidden. Didn't know it. Where did this... Good Lord, where did... Because it's not like I had been, feeding on any kind of anything bad, mentally, what I'm talking about. Boy, I felt dirty and ashamed. I said, whoa. And I got out of the truck, and I was walking to the little cafe they had there at the truck stop, going to get some coffee, and about halfway across there, it dawned on me, wait a minute, I had another dream. I had a dream before that dream. What was that dream? Without me going into the details of it, that dream was from God. And somehow the enemy saw me receive that dream, and I believe with all my heart, he sent a demon to put one of the devil's dreams on top. To steal the vision that God had gave me. And I had to sit and think, what was that first dream? I wonder how many other times that's happened. See? But glory to God. And I got it and I wrote it. But I did remember this one and I wrote it down. It's been so many years now, I'd have to go back and look at my notes. But see, the enemy is not stupid. Not in that sense. He knows human beings. So what did he do? He saw me receive something from God. So he tried to slap it with something that'd make me feel so ashamed. I wouldn't even think about it. Didn't want to think about it. Glory. We're learning. We're not going to always be ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. Now, sometimes you'll find out why God does things certain ways. Sometimes you won't. I'm finding that out. We do know why Macedonia was a God idea. And not just a good idea. I didn't know for a long time. But you keep praying in the Holy Ghost, and one of the things He does is open up the Word of God to you. Sometimes He'll have to open it up from about five different books before He can put it together. Dave calls that assimilation. Where you give the Holy Ghost... Y'all know what I'm... Am I not talking Greek, right? Y'all know what I mean when I say the word assimilation? What he means is feed whole books into your spirit so your spirit is equipped for day and night assimilation. It's a long time for the Holy Ghost. I had to have the book of Acts, the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of Romans, and one other one. I can't remember now. All of them assimilated in me where the Holy Ghost could draw from all of... Oh, Philippians. To draw from all of those for me to understand why it was the Holy Ghost wanted Paul to go to Macedonia first. I do know, and I know precisely why. For additional tapes by Gary Carpenter. I do that just for Lynn. Would y'all like to know why? Oh, yeah. It makes perfect sense. Once you see it, it's the most simple thing in the world. I tell people all the time, I say, God, it sounds funny, but it's true. God is the most down-to-earth person I ever met. He's always got a reason for everything He does. Now, you reckon that the Holy Ghost wanted the folks in Asia saved? How about the folks in Bithynia? So what's the deal? Something's up here, isn't it? What is it? Well, see, you may not know that Macedonia, Philippi, the Bible says, is the chief city of Macedonia. When Paul and Silas set out for Macedonia, they met Lydia. But then one of the things they did was cast the devil out of that fortune-telling girl. You remember that? Cast the devil out of her. Would y'all say that's a good thing to do? Cast that devil out of her, and what happened? Boy, such an uproar happened. They arrested them, beat them with stripes, put them in stocks. They're in prison. You know, right away, you find... I can just see them. I know this didn't happen, but it teaches good. I can see Paul in stocks. Silas right next to him. Silas leans over, looks over at Paul. Their backs are hurting. They're in prison. Had a dream, did you? I'll tell you one thing you'll learn real quick. You better not be led by circumstances. Were they in the perfect will of God? Didn't God send them a vision, a dream? And here they'd come in, cast the devil out of that girl, got beat up for it and put in prison. They're right smack dab in the perfect will of God, get put in stocks and in prison at midnight. You better not be led by circumstances, I'm telling you. You better be led by the Holy Ghost. Be led by the Holy Ghost. So now anyway, now y'all know the rest of that story. They didn't do like most of us. You know, we got it pretty easy here in America, you know, really. You know, most of us, you know, my bed was lumpy. I was on the road and my bed was lumpy. Just not treating me right. Oh, this persecution from the devil. My bed was, you know what I'm saying, that kind of thing. My coffee was cold. Give me a break. What does Paul and Silas do? At midnight. In the stocks. They're not sitting there with nice little hymnals open. They've been over like this in the stocks. What do they begin to do? Sing and praise and worship God. And I don't mean silently. They did it so much the whole prison heard it. that so pleased God? He sent His power, sent an earthquake that shook the bars on the prison cells open, all of them. And if normally anybody in that condition, what would they do when the bars come off the prison? You run like a mad dog. You run, brother. You run, you know. But see, they didn't run. You know why? They're still following the Holy Ghost. And there's a soul to be saved there. That Philippian jailer come in, and when he saw the bars open, he just assumed they's all gone. Rather than face the shame of it, he was just going to fall on his own sword. What does Paul yell out? Don't harm yourself. We're all here. For it was over that night that Philippian jailer and his house was saved. Now it goes further than that. God could have saved people in Asia and Bithynia. It goes further than that. Why here? Well, if you read the rest of the New Testament there, you'll find out why. God was establishing Paul's financial base. The Philippian church, if you know the story, became his number one financial supporter. They sent more than once to him in Thessalonica. They sent to him in Corinth. They sent to him even in Rome. Time and time again. Because you know why? They said, we know this man. Any man who's been imprisoned for the gospel, and God opens the doors by an earthquake, but he values a soul more precious than his freedom. We can send that man our money. And we know that souls will be won for the kingdom. And that fruit will abound to our account in heaven. We're going to support that ministry. Now, God always has a reason for everything He does. Paul did preach the gospel later in Asia. He preached it all over. But God's smart enough to know there are those that preach and there are those that send. And how shall they preach lest they be sent? The Philippians were Paul's senders. I tell people all the time, I say, God did not forget the financing when He called you. He has a plan to finance everything He called you to do. He's never yet asked me to pick up the bill on nothing. And that's why He wanted them to go to Macedonia first. He's establishing a foundation that's going to be... Not that other people gave too, but I just want you to know this was the foundation. This was the core for the rest of Paul's life. Supported what he did to bring fruit into the kingdom of God. Would you call Macedonia now just a good idea? That was a God idea. It would have been a good idea to go to Asia. It would have been a good idea to go to Bithynia, and God would have blessed it all that He could. But see, God had an idea. He says, this man Paul, he's going to serve me all of his life. I mean, God does know the end from the beginning. He says, first thing we're going to do, we're going to set up a financial hub, a financial foundation, a base of people, so He can continue to spread my gospel and do it anywhere that He goes, because these people... they'll know He's faithful. Yes. Is that not our practical God? Is that not our God who knows everything? Trust me, He hasn't forgot your finances either. They're His. I tell people all the time, your job is to pray. This will bless you. This will bless you. This is my first closing. For those on my mailing list, what does that mean?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Okay, it doesn't mean anything. I get phone calls and letters all the time. One of them in particular, this is just a typical one, and it's a real one. This lady called, I believe she was in Phoenix. It might have been California, I don't remember. But anyway, years ago, years before, God had started giving her an idea. It would come in dreams and visions. She had an idea for a Christian magazine for young ladies just coming to that age where the world really makes a play for them. And the more she explained it to me, I mean, and it was designed by God to rescue them and keep them from going out. She was telling me all of it. It did sound like a God idea to me. She told me, she said, I've had this for years and God's been developing it. She said, over the course of these years, sometimes I'd be at church and, God would send a prophet or somebody would who didn't know me at all. And they would confirm it by saying, God's called you to start some publishing thing that's going to rescue young ladies. Or it would be something like that, real specific words. And she says, now I've been working on it all that I could all these years. I have the layout. I have the know-how for the printing and everything. I know how to distribute it. But Brother Gary, there's just one thing lacking. What is it? She said, I don't have the money. I don't know how to, what about the money, Brother Gary? Boy, I'm listening. I don't take those kind of phone calls lightly. This is her life and her calling. I'm listening, boy. I'm listening hard as I know how on the inside for the Holy Ghost. He just got it to me so easy. I said, let me ask you just a few questions. You're telling me this is a God idea. Oh, yes. So what you're saying is that before the foundations of the world, in the mind of God, He had this plan for you to do. He knew when you'd be born. He knew this day would come. And this was His plan for your life from the beginning. She said, oh, yes. And you tell me He's even sent prophets from time to time to confirm it for you so you would know. Oh, yes. So He's been lovingly and carefully laying this plan out. Let me ask you a question. Way back before the foundation of the world, when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost was laying this plan out, you reckon they forgot the financing? I mean, here now it's suddenly you're ready, and the Father looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at the Father, and the Father goes, I thought you took care of the financing. And Jesus goes, I thought it was you. And they both look at the Holy Ghost and go, what, you forgot? You think it's like that in heaven? She was getting it already. She was getting it. I said, ma'am, I said, that plan for the financing is just as much a part of His mind for you as the idea itself. I said, trust me, the plan to finance that magazine already exists in the mind of God. Your job is not to try and create one. Your job is to pray and find that plan. It's already there. He planned the financing right along with the rest of it. Glory to God. Is that good stuff or what? That is good. Well, it's like how He finances ours. When every time I sit down and think, which I try not to do that a whole lot anymore, but when I sit down and think of how we do our ministry, it still scares me. It still sounds like a perfect way to go broke quickly. You know? Because when He started laying out how He was going to finance ours, it sounded like anything but what would work. You know? I want you to send the tapes free. I want you to pay for them yourself. I want you to buy the bubble mailers. I want you to buy the labels. I want you to do all the work of putting that together. He says, I want you to pay the postage. Oh, and by the way, don't even put in a return envelope. Oh, and by the way, don't ever let any of them know any needs that you ever have. I am your source.
Hallelujah.
He says, as long as you'll do that, I'll speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support you and the needs of the ministry.
Hallelujah.
And He's been doing that ever since about 1996 when we started. Now see, I've actually been accused, since it's been working, and it has been, and still is, I've actually, a couple of times, not very often, couple of times I've been accused of this. Well, this just looks to me like a very slick way of putting condemnation on the people by sending them something free, and now they feel indebted to you. Sue's over there cackling, you know. You know what I said to him? I said, well, sir, if it's such a surefire way of making money, why ain't you doing it? If you think that's such a slick idea to make money, why don't you do it your own self? Start sending stuff free and see what happens to your business. You better have the anointing of the Holy Ghost to do that. That's why I tell people all the time, other ministers, I said, don't do what we do. Except this part, go pray and get His instructions. Imitate that part. But don't start doing it the way we do it. You fall flat on your face if that's not His plan for you. He may want you to charge it. Now, He could. I mean, He may want you to charge $100 a tape. I have no idea. But I do know he does. He has a plan, is what I'm saying. And that's his plan for us. And everything else that happens in our life, partly is a big part because we're obedient to do that. That's part of it. See, that's really what seek first the kingdom. In other words, find out what he wants you to do and do that. Is that plain enough?
Yes, that does not mean, however, that it's not scary.
Oh,
when
yeah.
He tells you stuff like go on Sid Roth's program and offer people tapes free on a TV program that goes around the world into Russia and Jerusalem. And then we did that, and okay, we saw his provision there. And then he tells us to put the on the internet, to get on the internet and offer tapes free there. And that was scary, let me tell you. I just thought I'd...
Hallelujah. Yeah, his instructions always work. Most of the time they'll scare you. That's partly why we don't tend to listen for them. I want to give you one more to close with. Just a real practical, simple one for tonight. Are y'all getting anything out of this? We're going to touch on this a lot, this next one, during the week. Now, here's another. Okay, we talked about dreams and visions. That's just one way that the Holy Ghost does this kind of thing, communicating the instructions really that come from the mind of Christ. If you're taking notes, write this one down. It's another way, and it's called the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are for every believer. They are not just for the fivefold. I mean, and really, you qualify, and I can prove you qualify for the gifts of the Spirit tonight. Are you born again? Have you at least matured to babyhood stage? What book is it where we find all that information about the... Isn't it 1 Corinthians? And Paul says, you come behind in no gift, talking to them. What did he say about that church in chapter 3? Your babies, carnal. I'd like to give you meat. I have meat, but I can't give it to you. Bunch of bottle-sucking babies. Puffed up, strifed bunch. Only way God can use you right now is the gifts, because if he gave you any kind of residence anointing, you'd get even more puffed up than you already are. That's why it says, so for... to one, I give the gift of healing today, so it'll work through Lynn today. She begins to think she's a little bit of a hot rod. Just so she doesn't get puffed up, she's going, he uses me, you know. And so tomorrow he says, all right, she'll lay hands on somebody and it's like cold fish on a doorknob. I mean, there's no power at all, you know. And tomorrow he's doing that gift of healing through this sister here. That's why it says it's given to every man to profit with all, but only as the Spirit wills. He can't trust babies with power. But you do qualify for the gifts. You do qualify. If you're a baby, after Paul left town from Corinth, who did God have left to save the rest of the town? That baby church? Split, divided, carnal baby bunch, bottle-sucking babies. This is what I got. And I got a whole town to be saved. I want to heal those people. I want to say, they got to see my power. I got babies. Okay, I'm going to use my gifts to them. But they can't have any of them as a resident anointing. Otherwise, they'll get so puffed up, they'll be out selling their gifts. And if you don't think that happens, I know a minister in Florida right now where you can get a prophecy from God for $300. Now, the reason I'm telling you that, I'm going to give you a practical example, but you might, if I hadn't told you all that, you'd think, well, yeah, that works through you because you're a minister. No, this works through, if you're born again and a baby, at least, you qualify. By the way, let me don't leave you there. See, that's why chapter 12 that talks about the gifts, at the end of it, doesn't Paul say, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I you a more excellent way. More excellent way than what? Than operating only by the gifts. And he goes directly into the love chapter. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Love never comes. We read that and we go, oh, now you're talking about maturity. Now you're talking about being transformed to the image of Christ. And if you ever do, Jesus didn't operate by the gifts. The gifts worked through him, but he wasn't limited to the gifts. He'd walk up and offer you a menu. He'd say, what is it you'd have me do for you? Because all of God was resident in him. See, that's what happens when you become a mature son to the measure of the stature. You're not going to be out marketing the stuff. You're not going to feel puffed up. I mean, the way up in the kingdom is the way down, you know. The more humble you are, the more God can use you. See what I mean? So you get transformed to that. That's what Paul's saying. There is a more excellent way. But hey, listen. Thank God we do have the gifts while we're in the transformation. So I'm going to give you a quick little example about that. You ready? One day after a service, a lady came up and asked for prayer. And she said, it was just a couple of years ago, and she was coming up to Christmas time, I remember that. And she said, Brother Gary, would you pray for me? And I said, well, sure, what's the matter? She said, well, it's going to be Christmas in a couple of weeks, and my parents live out of state. I only get to see them once a year. They fly in for Christmas. And she says, I do love my parents, and they love me, and we're all Christians, but try as we might. Every single Christmas, when we get together, by the time they're on the plane, you know, headed back home, we in big fights and arguments and strife, and we all hate it that it ends that way, but it just happens that way every year. Would you pray for me that that wouldn't happen and that, you know, me and my parents, we'd have a good time at Christmas? Well, that sounds like a good thing to pray for, doesn't it? So I'm just fixing to lay my hand on her head and do a Gary prayer. Y'all know what I mean by Gary prayer. Kind of prayer you'd pray. You know, something like, I'm just fixing to pray just like you normally would. Oh, Father, we thank you for your Spirit. You are the great Shalom. Father, we thank you for peace that passes all understanding. Father, let your Spirit, Lord, we bind that Spirit. You know, all that stuff that we do. I'm just fixing to pray my Gary prayer. And it would have been good. I mean, it's not wrong to pray your prayers, you know. But unless the Holy Ghost speaks up. Now get this. I'm fixing to pray this prayer that her and her parents will get along and have a good time at Christmas. The Holy Ghost, learning to listen. Learning to listen for that voice for instructions from heaven. And watch what a difference it makes. I begin hearing the Holy Ghost quote a verse to me. I know He wants me to quote it to her. Trouble is, it seems to have no earthly connection. She wants peace with her parents. You want to know what the verse was? Eat what is set before you. I'm hearing this verse come up. Eat what is set before you. But I've been practicing, listening to His voice. I know it's Him. You know, and how many times do we just ignore that? I'd like to tell you I don't ever ignore that. But then I'd have to repent for that lie. So I'm going, I hesitated for a minute. Boy, it was just real strong. And I said, ma'am, I withdrew my hand. I said, I was just fixing to pray for you. And the Holy Ghost wants me to quote a verse to you. And to me, it absolutely seems to have no bearing on what you asked me to pray. But if you don't mind, I'd like to tell you what it is. He said, well, sure, what is it? The verse I'm hearing to tell you is eat what is set before you. Like Dave says, her eyes instantly got big as sewer lids. Now, I didn't know what was up yet, but I knew the Holy Ghost had touched a nerve. It didn't mean nothing to me, but it sure meant something to her. She looked startled, like, looked at me. And then she went, you don't know, do you? You don't know. And I went, apparently not. You know, apparently I don't. What? She said, what you don't. And she's right. I'd only seen this lady a couple of times in church. I don't think I'd ever even spoken a word to her before. I didn't know anything about her. She says, well, what you don't know is I'm a vegetarian. And my parents are not. And when they come every Christmas, they're very traditional. They like all of the trimmings. And they want to have turkey and ham and giblet gravy. And I try and resist it, but I can't help it. I have to start telling them how wrong they are to eat that stuff. And then they're on to me. And before you know it, it's World War III. She said, that's usually what gets it started.
Wow.
And I said, I'm still listening. And I said, now listen, you can be a vegetarian the remaining 51 weeks out of the year. But if you want to be Christ's minister of peace to your parents, what instructions did He give to His ministers when He sent them out? Eat what is set before you. I don't care. Now get ready for this. I don't care if they serve you gopher guts on spaghetti. You ask the Lord to sanctify it by His Word. Touch it with His anointing. And you eat it down. Paul says, I've become all things to all men that I might win some. Glory to God. I remember Arthur Blessett years ago going through India. And they'd run out of water. And there's nothing there but the old Ganges River. And that's where the cattle do their thing. And that's where the people bathe. And I mean, you know, but there, when you're out of water, you're out of water. And Arthur Blessett says, I'd take that tin cup out of my knapsack. I'd dip down in that brown Ganges River. There'd be all kinds of little swimmy things in there. I'd hold it up to heaven and I'd say, Jesus, kill them all. I'd drink that water and I never got a parasite all the years we was over there. Hallelujah. Eat what is set before you. Now, she told me that she would do that. Whether she did or not, I don't know. But what I do know is this. Hearing instructions that came from heaven allowed the Holy Ghost to go right for the jugular instead of my little Gary prayer. Now, He would have honored my Gary prayer and done all He could to manifest it. But isn't it so much better to let the Holy, who knows the situation, who knows what their problem is, not only let me know what their problem was, but gave her instructions directly from the mind of Christ how to receive the answer to her prayer. Now that is the difference between a good idea and a God idea. Why did you mention the gifts of the Spirit? Well, because that right there is a word of knowledge. I had no earthly way of knowing that situation, no possible way. That is supernatural information that I could get no other way but by the Holy Ghost. But to her, it was a word of wisdom because it conveyed to her what to do. See, knowledge is the fuel that wisdom burns. Many people have knowledge. Not everybody has wisdom. Amen? You get a word of knowledge followed by a word of wisdom, honey, you in business. You know what to do. You not only know what the situation is, you know what to do about it. And listen to me. The Holy Ghost is with each and every one of you 24/7, 365 days a year. The gifts of the Spirit are as available to any one of you as it is any minister on any pulpit anywhere in the land. When He finally taught me that the gifts are for the babies, I knew we all qualified. Amen. Everyone says, would you mind saying a good confession along that line after me? Say, I am born again. I am a candidate for all the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been sent to abide with me forever. I listen for His God ideas. Ideas from the throne. And not just man's ideas. I expect the gifts of the Spirit. Not just in church. All the time. On my job. At school. When I'm doing my hobbies. When I'm doing the laundry, all the time, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We start thinking like that, talking like that, becoming aware that there's somebody supernatural with you. Your thinking begins to change. Suddenly all things start to be possible. Just exactly what is too hard for the Holy Ghost? All right. See, I don't ever finish anymore. That's just not possible. How can you finish talking about Jesus? So I don't ever finish. I just have to quit. So for tonight, I quit. Boy, we got a lot more to talk about. I know some of you can come, some of you can't. But I tell you this, if you can come, I don't believe the Holy Ghost will waste your time. Now, if you can't, either Pastor Christie will make the tapes available. Well, we'll probably both will. But we'll also, when we get back to town, trouble is it'll take a while to get them from us. We've got to do some things with them. But if you can't come, somehow sign up for the tapes, and either from Pastor Christie or from us, you'll get them. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. I hope you had a good... Give the Lord a hand.